I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Got all your wrapping done? You know, it's Christmas 2 weeks out. You got all your wrapping done? Not your gifts. Not your gifts. You done being all wrapped up in this thing? Because I'll tell you, we sure seem to get wrapped up in all the frenzy and the flurry and the fatigue that comes with it. You guys, your wrapping done? You done being all wrapped up? Because, hey, I got to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us resent and be mad in it. Not a scripture. Not a scripture, actually. Though it's easy to live as though it is. Especially this day, even though the Lord made it. But this is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Not a suggestion. Not a suggestion, actually. Though it's easy to live as though it is, right? But it isn't. It isn't. For we walk by sight, not by faith. Oh, whoops. Did I get that backward? Did I get that backward? Well, I just hope you don't. I hope you don't get that backward, you know, out past these walls where we live it out. Because, oh, it's easy to do. Isn't that funny and ironic? It's just so easy to be so angry during Christmas to celebrate the joy of our Savior. Chuck Jones, animator of the original Grinch, once famously said, and I love the quote, "Everybody hates Christmas a little." That's just a funny line. He was asked why the Grinch was so popular, and that was his answer. Oh, because everybody hates Christmas just a little. Well, the problem is here, he's confusing Christmas with something else entirely. Now, after Christmas, most folks are going to ask you, what'd you get? What'd you get? Whereas I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask you right now, what'd you celebrate? Very important. What did you celebrate? Or should I say, most celebrate? What did you most celebrate? Because for believers now, two simultaneous celebrations occur, just all interwoven. One is sacred, one is secular. Not saying it's bad, just one is sacred, one is secular. We have created such an odd yet charming fusion and often confusion of those two. We have. So what are you most celebrating this day that the Lord has made? Christmas or Clausmas? I have to tell you, this is not a sermon against Clausmas. I love Clausmas. Twinkle lights, evergreens, Bing Crosby, ugly sweaters, but sugar cookies, cocoa, candy canes. It's just plain fun. And it adds a ton of festivity to the old actual reason for the season. There's nothing wrong with it. It's good. But it is precisely because Clausmas is such a sizable part of Christmas that as believers, we must just be still for a moment to remind ourselves that that's not the holy day. That would still be Christmas. If that is you and I, if we are still enough, long enough, in the midst of the faux and fuss of Clausmas to truly focus on Christmas. I mean, this is once a year that we just take time to think about what actually happened. You ever say something like, maybe even this year, like, oh, Christmas already. Hey, I'm still recovering from last year. Yeah? Well, if you have, you're thinking of Clausmas, not Christmas. Because... Exactly. Thank you. Can I get another amen? Because Clausmas is typified by clogged malls, backed up traffic, piles of packages, and irritable crowds. While Christmas is characterized by soothing stillness spent with our Savior and shared with a true Christmas who. And that would be the ones we love who love the Lord. But I also have to admit, it's just so tempting to let that stillness get swept away in a spectacular tsunami of Grinches and snowmen and reindeer and elves, until it seems as if the only one saving anything is some guy named Ernest. And I love Ernest, but that's Clausmas, okay? That's Clausmas. And yet, if we're not Ernest, our rejoicing in Christmas will be reckoned as revolting, for the Lord has spoken. Sons I have raised, but they have revolted against me. And I like his example. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey, there's the donkey. You know, even a donkey knows its master's manger, but my people do not understand. Oh, sinful nation, people weighed down with guilt. God doesn't want that. You know, people weighed down. Why? Oh, they have abandoned the Lord. They have turned away from him. You see, our Father's heart is distraught whenever our Savior is displaced in ours. Because Clausmas is about the mall. And the mall is about sweaters and trinkets and toys. Whereas Christmas is about the manger. And the manger is about the miraculous gift of God, as in from God and was God. I mean, it's insane, really. It's crazy. But Christ's burden is light. Whereas Claus, well, he comes bearing guilt with a clause. You got to be good enough. You got to be good enough to get onto his list. That's a big difference, because the priceless gift is to one and all by God's grace, because no one good enough. Through our faith in the loving presence of the gift himself. So come what may, well, it's still his day. Because at its core, it's still the time that we adore God's only Son, love's pure light, who came into the heart of darkness on a strategic suicide mission, right? We don't often think about what it was. Jesus came on a suicide mission to free us from sin, to save us from death, to make a way to carry us home. Therefore, the best way to celebrate Christmas in the midst of Clausmas is simply by seizing a little silence, stealing a moment of stillness, just to ponder the purpose, the actual wonder of a pregnant virgin. That's crazy. A pregnant virgin and a hesitant husband, you know, coming to Bethlehem to register for the tax, but instead meeting terrified shepherds and starry-eyed wise men and a simple stable packed with prophecy, stacked around a baby in a feed trough, who happens to be the creator of time, space, and dimension, not to mention us. So let's sit back, take a breath, settle in, because we're going to practice seizing the stillness and focusing, because I've written a poem, as Noah said, just for today. Oh, I'm excited to read it to you. I've titled it, A Crib to a Cross. Away in a manger, a mangy cow trough, the little Lord lay in a lowly hay loft. 'Twas Christmas, day one, and came ASAP. That day, by the way, BC became AD. Well, as Mary hummed mildly, her hymn was cut short by herdsmen who shared a sheer shocking report. Oh, we's watching our flocks in the ease of a breeze, our eyes on our ewes as they caught up on Z's, when boom, we's beholding a heavenly host, a choir on fire round a most holy ghost, whose boast was God's gift. What come registered post? Oh, he'd flown Virgin Air. And her airmail he'd be. But H-E-I-R. And then M-A-L-E. Though it were a babe, oh, he'd be wrapped, it were said, in ribbons of cloth from his heels to his head. And he roared, "Do not fear," as the angels soared round. And though we did try, oh, I can't lie, we fell down. If you felt the force of the source of them notes, you drop like you're dead, like them weird fainting goats. Good news, they proclaimed. Then proclaim it again, because we're merely shepherds and not such wise men. But we heard God's word, and our herd heard his word. And thoughts done occurred from his word, what we heard. Though we're not so bright, there's a thing we done learned. By coming to us, we learned it can't be earned. Then poof, it was gone. And then woof, our hearts burned. Because one thing we knowed from decoding our sheep, if rams bleat commands, they expect lambs to leap. So no one stood still. We made haste to this stall. For sheep fast asleep will be fleeced of their call. And now we's awake to face what we foreknow. Our eyes toward the Lord and our backs to the wall. And just for historical scriptural records, God's lamb led us poor, humble, sheepish type shepherds. But as they tiptoed to behold that newborn, the barn was alarmed by the blast of a horn. And in marched the Magi, regaling their story of chasing a star from afar for God's glory. These sages weren't Jewish, just king-size wise guys. So all turned to hear what their presence implies. Well, when kings are declared for their kingdom to see, crowds bow in a wave, and friends drop to a knee. For when he's proclaimed, then he reigns over thee. But we saw a star decreed in the sky. So we reined our camels and waved a goodbye. Now see, it is we who bend down on a knee to find what that sign had foresaid we would see. For bowing to Christ far exceeds what could please us. So let us crowd gifts round this cow crib of Jesus. Cause we've come prepared, having spared no expense. Here's gold and here's myrrh and here's pure frankincense. Now, gold speaks of kings, at least it does in the East. And frankincense christens the head of a priest. And myrrh, as it were, well, anoints the deceased. And though myrrh may seem an odd gift for a child, this one we revere will one day be reviled. Yet myrrh is much more than mere mourning perfume that's brushed on the dead as they're rushed to the tomb. So please, don't assume that it's all doom and gloom. And thus, it was so. And then so it was thus. The infant had grown to atone sin for us. Some 33 years and some months came and went, and all were long gone, except that myrrh's morbid scent. Christ hung on a tree like a crushed ornament, his life pouring out, his energy spent, and he gave up the ghost. But when Grimm came to reap him, well, his grave wouldn't boast, because it couldn't quite keep him. Though swaddled again, but then laid in a tomb, these ribbons of cloth were more like a cocoon. For on the third day, when that stone rolled aside, that tomb's resident left it unoccupied. And this was discovered by Peter and John, the latter the brains, the former the brawn. They'd crept toward his crypt because they'd been made aware. Well, his deathbed was bare and his corpse, who knows where? It seemingly vanished by thief or thin air. So Peter, the bolder, splunk in that stone cave, and what he observed rocked a seismic shock wave. Behold, I see wrappings forsaken as waste. Nothing's unfastened and nothing's unlaced. Just picture a mummy, but hollow somehow. So oddly deflated. It's hit me just now. It wasn't no Roman nor Jew who exhumed him. 'Twas God who unveiled him, for love had entombed him. Conceived before birth, before earth, his intention. Old death was his method to reap our redemption. He wasn't decaying, but paying for man. The ultimate, consummate layaway plan. Our sin's been forgiven. The pit's lost its power. He's reigning on high, low this day, low this hour. Yes, who could have guessed? As that cross snuffed his cries, his grave would just cave and release him to rise. He chose Mary's womb as his means to this tomb. Because seeds must be planted before they can bloom. That cow feeder trough was a crib to a cross, which meant his descent net a gain, not a loss. For swaddled in ribbons away in that creche, our Savior, God's Son, had come gift-wrapped in flesh. And since he's a gift, there's but one limitation. He must be believed and received for salvation. Therefore, let everything that has breath complain this Christmas. Not a scripture. Let's not act like it is. It's not a scripture. Let's not live like it is. Amen.
Amen.
Because why do I act like it is? Why do I live like it's a scripture? No, we need to act the polar opposite, in fact. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that doesn't always come out in words. It's how we treat people. It's how we live. It's how we act at Christmas. You know, the little Lord Jesus received his first gifts that first Christmas. Mary and Joseph gave their trust. The shepherds, well, they gave their testimony. The wise men, they gave their treasures and true worship. And you know what? Jesus never outgrew those gifts. They're still his favorite. The very favorites. To this day, still exactly what he desires and what he deserves most from us. Or I guess you could just conform to the pattern of this world and do not be transformed. Let your hearts be troubled and be afraid. For if you forgive others when they sin against you, you're a chump. Not scriptures. Let's not live like they are, okay? Not scriptures. How hollow the holiday without the hope. You know, filled with festivity, which I love, while lacking the only truly substantial, most meaningful, eternal centerpiece to aim it at, focus it on, and build it around. But you know what? We're here. We are here together in the midst of the chaos of Klosma. So you know what? Go team. Go team. Because Klosma comes but once a year, fades fast, and will all be over in 2 weeks. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. You know, his presence is 24/7, 365. And his mercies, oh my goodness, don't get me started. His mercies never come to an end. In fact, they are new, not just Christmas morning, but every morning. Now that's a scripture. That's a scripture. And if you've been focused a bit too much on Clausmas this Christmas, never fear. No judgment here. This day the Lord has made, still here. If we will just be still enough, long enough to see it. I mean, point of the whole message right here. It is a profoundly simple request on his part. Be still and know that I am God. Let's read that together. Be still and know that I am God. Definitely scripture. So let's do it. Let's give him what he still desires and still deserves. Our trust, our testimonies, our treasures, our true worship. And for heaven's sake, some stillness in the midst of the chaos. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, oh, we love you and worship you for sending love's pure light. Holy Spirit, inspire us to seize the moment and to hone the skill to be still with you. Lord Jesus, we praise you as the highest and holiest gift, and we thank you for making the way to carry us home. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.